Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Two Sistas Trending Thursday podcast. My name is Janice, aka Wellness Diva 5.0, sometimes 6.0. I have to consider the upgrade pretty soon, I think. In any event, I do want to apologize. I'm not sure if Carol Sue will make it. I know that she wanted to be here, but I am so excited to interview my guest today. He was previously a guest on my podcast, Stories That Inspire Us, the author series. And he really is the true American success story. From a poor missionary living in his car to owning a six-figure business, he is an author, a speaker, a business mentor, and he is specifically the author of the book, I Want a Mentor Now, What Do We Do? Welcome to the Two Sistas family, Enoch. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you.
Thank you for having me and allowing me to join the family. I'm happy to be here. I'm looking forward to the conversation as well.
Oh, me too. And as you know, Enoch, with your book, you know, I take the stickies out, I put them back in. Your book is absolutely fascinating. So thank you, by the way, for writing such an amazing book that I really could talk for hours and hours specifically about your book. Another thing, along with everyone having Zoom issues that I know that I've spoken with this week, what has also come up, and I think this is so apropos for Trending Thursday, are habits. Habits seem to be, you know, obviously, you know, perhaps we're reaching for a goal, perhaps we're, you know, whether it's in business or our personal lives, sometimes we have a hard time getting there. What can you share with us about habits, especially in your busy world, because you are on the go like nonstop?
Yeah, habits are extremely important because a lot of times I know that habits, they shape our character, and our character determines our destination, where we're going to arrive 5 years from now, 10 years from now. And we've got healthy habits, we've got unhealthy habits, things that we want to change. But how are we able to make these habits stick? I've definitely been a lifelong learner of habits, and that's a subject that I often like to talk about, learn about. And one thing I've been thinking about lately is how habits, the most powerful force in human nature is the need, our need to act in a way that is consistent with our identity and who we believe that we are. So a lot of times people go about changing habits or forming new habits by trying to focus on the activity of what they're going to do. But I find that if what we do, our activity is based on our identity. So instead of focusing on what to do, focusing on who to become, who can I be that will do that habit consistently? I'll give you an example. One of the first times this was brought to my attention, I was wanting to form the habit of jogging or running with people. And I had a neighbor who was an ultra marathon runner, and he'd run for like 100 miles in one stretch. And I'm like, this is amazing. We live in the mountains, so we're going up and down these hills, and he's teaching me how to run. And someone was explaining to me how we don't reach our goals based on what we do. We reach our goals based on who we are. And at first I didn't understand what that meant, but the analogy was given to me is, let's say you have a goal to jog, that you want to exercise or move daily. You want to be more active. And so you go out and jogging. Now, if you're a person who, if I have a goal to jog every day, then when it's rainy, then I'm going to look and I'm like, oh, it's so rainy out there, or there's snow. And I'm going to be like, so cold. Maybe it's not a time to go jogging today. But if you have an identity of I am a jogger, then a jogger is going to look outside and see the rain and say, wow, what a beautiful day to go for a jog, because of who the jogger is. And so I find that like becoming the person who will do the thing consistently is one of the best ways to reach the destinations that we desire in life. And forming the habits is really about becoming the person and less about what we're doing.
And that, wow, that makes so much more sense to me in my, and I'm slightly a little older than you. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I think it's really interesting how you describe that, because it sounds simplistic in nature, but there really are things that perhaps we should be doing. So you're saying, for instance, if you want to jog, identify as being the jogger, maybe not specifically what it is that you're going to be doing, it, regardless of if it's snowing or raining or whatever it may be, is to identify with being the jogger. If you're the jogger, you're going to go out there no matter what.
Exactly. And a lot of times, I'm imagining the question that many listeners would be doing is like, okay, well, how do I shift my identity? And a lot of things that shape our identity is basically like three things. And I teach this in my book, I Want to Mentor Now, What Do I Do? So number one, it's like we have these searching questions. Our identity, like our thoughts are dictated by our questions. And our life is always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. So an example would be, there's two types of questions that we can ask. And I would say, like, there's lousy questions. And if we ask a lousy question, we're going to get a lousy what?
Mm-hmm.
Answer. And and if we ask these things and it makes us, they feel lousy. Like, for instance, if I have a goal to lose weight, then I might ask, like, oh, why am I so fat? And the question of, like, why am I so fat? Our mind naturally wants to think about, well, it's because I'm an emotional eater. It's because I like cake more than I like a lettuce. Or we start going through all these reasons why we are that way. But if we change the question, then we'll change the answer and see, like, why do I want to lose weight? Or why do I want to jog? And we can start, then our mind's naturally going to want to answer that. And we'll start asking, like, because I care about my health, because I want to be here longer, because I want to be able to spend more time with the people I care about, because I want to be able to keep up with my kids and to have energy to go have greater experiences with my loved ones. I don't want to stay behind while other people are out there enjoying life without me. So we start seeing and we start stacking these reasons. It's why to is more important than how to, because if you think about it, like, if the steps were all that we needed, then everybody, like, when it comes to, say, losing weight, like, we all very well have a general idea of how to do that. It's like good exercise, diet, and we're going to lose weight. But if knowing how to do or what to do was all that was required, then everybody would be feeling fit and fabulous. But it's the reasons that hold us back. And those reasons of why to lose the weight, why to exercise, why to move and to eat healthy. These are the things that help us to become that person who can do consistently those activities that are required in order to reach the goals that we have. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh my God. Perfect sense. Cause it really brought me back to my weight loss journey. You know, I was doing the same thing over and over again, would lose a little weight. I'm obviously specifically talking about weight loss. And I would be okay, but then I'd gain it back and then some. So for me, there was a disconnection. I'm not going to lie. There was a big disconnection. So just applying what you said beforehand about habits, when I made that decision in my mind to make a lifestyle change, and why specifically was that so important to me? That's when it clicked for me. So I became that person, I guess, in many ways before I was actually to where I wanted to be physically.
Absolutely. And in my weight loss journey too, I had a heart attack when I was 12 years old. And believe it or not, I was 210 pounds. I was short. I was the second fattest kid of an elementary school with about 1,000 students. And when I would go to the doctors, I remember my pediatrician, every time that I spoke to him, he'd always say, Enoch, you're fat, you need to lose weight. I'd say, then my toe hurts. He's like, you're overweight, you need to lose weight. I'd say, my back hurts, you're overweight, you need to lose weight. And it's like, no matter what, he was just like, all the issues was just basically like, you have a weight issue. And I was like, okay, but it wasn't enough to change. My habits were that I would eat when I'm hungry, I'd eat when I'm bored, I'd eat when I'd go walk by the refrigerator, I'd eat whenever in the evening, in the middle of the night, in the morning, I'd just eat whenever. And whatever I ate, drink sodas, and ate donuts, and I got a hold of, I really like Burger King's, and they found a way that they fill out a survey and they'll give me free big Whoppers. And that was not doing good for my health. So I got to the pinnacle of my weight issues with all these habits that got me with the results of my life. And then finally, I remember I was sitting on the couch. I had this like excruciating pain in my heart, and it was freaking me out. And they rushed me to the hospital, and I got my blood work done, and the doctors revealed to me that I was high cholesterol at age 12. I was high blood pressure. I already knew I was morbidly obese, very depressed, and I was borderline diabetic. And I didn't really know much about diabetes at the time, but I imagined that it was kind of like my habits were walking me towards a precipice, and I had one foot off, and my life was about to never be the same again if I continued in the direction that I was. And now I know that type 2 diabetes can be reversed, but at age 12, I'm just like, I'm faced with a decision, a fork in my road of life. And I'm like, what am I going to do? And then for the first time, I had reasons to change. Now I had much stronger why to persevere, because the reality is if your why isn't clear, then you will not persevere. And so I started to look for ways that I can apply to my life and change. And I'm like, what can I do? And I remember my mom was pulling books off the shelf, and she's like, well, some of these doctors are talking about, she introduced to me these 8 laws of health. And these 8 laws of health, there's an acronym, it's called God's plan. And G stands for godly trust. O is open air. D, daily exercise. S, sunshine. P, proper rest. L, lots of water. A, always temperate, and in nutrition. She was saying that as we follow these 8 laws of health, then we will be able to be more healthier. I was like, what? This is amazing. And she went to these health classes where there is a man, his name was Hans Diehl. He mentored my mom, and then my mom was able to mentor me, and I was able to apply these principles to my life. And within 3 months, I lost 50 pounds. I stopped drinking sodas. I haven't touched a soda since I was 12. I was able to keep the weight off, never put it back on. And I've got rid of my asthma, no longer borderline diabetic, no longer high blood pressure, high cholesterol. Just by changing some of my lifestyle habits, it drastically improved the quality of my life. I was able to lose the weight and feel so much better. But it's those reasons that make the big difference.
And that quality of life, I think, you know, obviously I was a lot older when this happened for me. I was in my early 40s. And you, when you are in that pinnacle of not so good health, like that affects everything. And I think looking at the monumental task, you know, of, wow, you know, I'm not healthy. I really... everything is related back to my weight issues. Like, I need to do something. And yes, it is an overwhelming feeling. And yes, it can be done. And yes, in my opinion, it was hard work, but it was so worth it for me.
That is so true.
And I know for you, you know, being at such a young age, an impressionable, you know, young boy, and now to where you are today. And I have a question for you. And I think it's definitely worth asking. Obviously, in my opinion, you are like the guru of the mentorship. And you had mentioned that. What, in your expert opinion about habits, do you think, for instance, like we start something and then we stop? It's almost like we preset ourselves for failure. What, in your opinion, is perhaps a few things that someone could do that to, you know, start out by doing little steps at a time? Like, what are some tips that you could share that really worked with you? Obviously, your mom was heavily involved.
Yeah, I find that what makes a big difference, what one of the reasons, the first step to change is to identify, like recognizing, I believe, the cause, because a lot of times the solution is in the cause. And I believe that one of the reasons why we have a lot of starts and stops, and we got this pattern of going a little bit and then not really going all the way, is again, because we're trying to do things, we're focused a lot on trying to do something that's like really beyond, really different than what we've done in the past or what, like who we believe that we are. And it's really like having our focus on some of the wrong things, where, for instance, like I believe that a lot of the work of making change and making change that lasts is really the thoughts and the beliefs that we have about the subject, whatever it is. Because in Genesis 1:28, it talks about this principle of be, do, and have. Because everything that we do, everything we have is based on the activities that we do, but everything that we do is based on the identity that we believe that we are. So it's like this be, do, have. If we want to change our doing, our habits, then we have to change our being. And one of the ways that we do that is with our stories. Because if we have a story that, like, for instance, when I was overweight and I was eating, I'd be at a barbecue and I'd come back for like the third or the fourth plate. And as I'm going for thirds, people were like, oh yeah, eat up, like you're a growing boy. And I was like, oh yeah, that's right, I am a growing boy. But the reality was I wasn't growing up, I was growing out. That wasn't a reason for me to keep eating. But that was a story that I was telling myself. Or sometimes like the stories that we say is like, well, being healthy is hard, and we focus on how difficult it is and how exhausting the future seems. And I'll be honest, like being like living healthy or getting healthy, it's simple, but it's not easy. Mm-hmm. And being, for me, when I was overweight, I wasn't able to keep up with others, and I had asthma that would flare up, and it was very difficult, and I was bullied and picked on. Like, being overweight, being unhealthy, or holding on to unhealthy habits is hard. But doing what is best for my health, like that's hard too. But we get to choose your heart, because failure is hard on the front end. I'm sorry, failure is hard, easy on the front end, but it's hard on the back end, where success is hard on the front end and easy on the back end. So you get to choose your heart in whichever way it's going to be. So I say this is because a lot of it is focusing on what are we going to focus on? What's the stories that we're going to stack in our life? Because if another story we could tell ourselves is like, healthy stuff doesn't taste good. I remember I was sharing with a family that I helped them lose about 18 pounds in 2 weeks. And while I was sharing with them some like a green drink, they were like, oh, it's green, it can't be healthy because it can't taste good because it's healthy. But they tasted it and they're like, wow, this is actually good. But you see that they had a belief that if it's healthy, it tastes nasty. And that is one of the things that if we hold on to this belief, we can change our behavior temporarily, but we're going to have like what I like to call rubber band results, where if we're just focusing on the behavior, then we might change for a little bit, but like a rubber band, when we put that pressure, we're going to snap back to who we believe that we are. And we're going to have these rubber band results. So by changing our beliefs and recognizing there's an abundance of healthy options or habits that can be enjoyable, that can taste good, that can be able to, that we can enjoy and change our stories, then it can change the steps that we take and the habits that we form. And a lot of times too, like we are products of our environment. And there's a principle I teach in my book, how we are an average of the top five voices we spend the most time with. So if a lot of our closest friends, their favorite things to do, like I had lots of friends who we got a hold of those Burger King surveys that would give us free Big Whoppers. And we would get together, hang out, and we'd go to Burger King. We'd get a free Whopper, and then they give us a receipt. We can call a number, do a survey, get another code, get a free Whopper, and we just go back and forth. And so the habits of my friends really influenced my experience. But when one thing that we can do to help make consistent, lasting change is put yourself in an environment that normalizes the achievement that you want to create. And mm-hmm. what that may look like is finding friends that are health conscious, finding friends. Like for me, I started to change my diet and I didn't know how to cook. And so what I did is I got like these little cookbooks and I sold them to my friends, and they like, we attended a health cooking class together where now we learned how to prepare some healthy food. We learned some health education. They were motivated. They were excited to change. So we were changing together. And then I'd go to school, and then we would prepare something at home, and we'd have like a potluck where we'd gather together our food, and then we'd share like a little lesson of health or something that I was learning, and basically creating that environment that's going to normalize the results that I wanted to accomplish. That our environment has a huge role on having consistency in our life, because if we can change our behavior short term, but if we keep going back to an environment that doesn't support the change, then we're going to snap back like that rubber band. But when we upgrade our environment, we can upgrade our experience.
Wow. You know, and I just want to say, obviously your vice was Burger King. Mine was McDonald's. I was a supersize gal. Okay. Supersize everything. And then I ordered a Diet Coke, so I didn't feel so bad. And I'm not poking fun at myself, but when I look back at that, like, what the heck was my thinking on that? Like, to me, that just makes absolutely no sense. And to change my methodology of how I felt was not easy. And you had mentioned hard. And I think it's worth saying that when you're in that moment, you have to choose it hard, and you have to choose it very wisely.
Yeah. And I completely agree that, I mean, now in hindsight, it's always 2020. You could look back in your experience. I can look back like, what were we thinking? But it's like the law of inertia. It states that an object at rest stays at rest unless acted upon by another force. And so that's why I believe, like, if we have inertia, if we're stuck in our health or in any habit that we are wanting to change, then it's because we have inertia that is working against us for forming a different habit. And the law of momentum is the opposite. It states an object in motion stays in motion unless acted upon by another force. So our goal, one of the hardest things at starting a new habit, is getting out of inertia and into momentum, where we're able to start stacking those healthy habits. And we could do habit stacking and to get more motion in that direction where we want to go. But with inertia, it's so interesting that it's like the same thinking that got us the results that we have are not the same thinking that's going to get us to where we want to go. That's why it's so powerful to have to have that influence by an outside force. And that's why I'm so passionate about mentorship, because it was the mentors in my life that gave me a new perspective. It gave me a new way of viewing that a mentor is able to look into our life when we have a result, a coach or a speaker or a friend or a mentor could look at where we're at from a different perspective and say, yeah, you're saying that your goal is this, but you're behaving in this way. What are you thinking? And those questions could help us to shift our focus and eventually shift the direction that we go as well. So that could be a huge for getting us on the path that we ultimately want to get. A lot of the reasons why people fail is because they're setting goals by themselves. They're not declaring their goals. They're not involving people. They're not asking for accountability. They're not being the accountability that they wish they had in reaching their goals. And, but by being able to have that outside perspective that we could even get from listening to your podcast and the different guests that you're interviewing, they help us to think differently.
That is so true. And I think when we go forward with something like that, it's, I think a lot of times the issue of, I know that, for instance, excuses came up for me. Well, if I'm going to change my behavior and put that thought process into it and upgrading my lifestyle, I need to change my behavior and I need to do something with these excuses. And of course, I think the number one excuse is I don't have time. I know that was for me.
Yeah. And the excuses are very much things that are going to prevent us. And I find that, like, when it comes to the excuses, we could look at those. And a lot of times we don't, I find it's interesting. A lot of times we think we're thinking, we're actually listening. And what I mean by that is sometimes, like, we're hearing some of these reasons why we can't, or the obstacles in the way, and we think it's our voice, but it's actually like the enemy that wants to whisper into our ears this doubt and discouragement. But it's interesting, the enemy doesn't whisper and say, you don't have time, or you can't afford it, or this is too expensive. It's saying, I can't afford it, I don't have time. And it's like, we think they're our thoughts, but they're really like the enemy that wants to discourage us and keep us trapped. Whereas when we replace, I like to say that there's like two types of thoughts. Excuses would be like a limiting belief that would limit our behavior. And then there is another, which is like a liberating truth. And liberating truth is based on abundance or possibility or options and truth, where limiting belief or excuses are based on scarcity of I can't, I'm not able to, I don't have a resource, I don't know. And for each one of these excuses that we have, we could ask, like, okay, what would, if we look at, say, like, if I have a goal to be exercising more frequently or walking, or, and like, I know for myself, I like to walk around my neighborhood. I like to get out and move. And one of the areas for me, it's like, I find it kind of boring to just move by myself or go out and just do it alone. So I asked the question, what would this look like if this was easy and I enjoyed the process of doing it? And when I ask that question, anytime that I'm wanting to do something that's kind of hard or something I don't enjoy, just ask the question, what would this look like if this was easy and I enjoyed the process of doing it? And I'm thinking, well, maybe if I'm walking outside rather than a treadmill, or maybe if I could talk to someone. So then that's a lot of times I will walk and I'll talk with people. So I'll be out and about and I'm making phone calls with people, or I just think about, well, maybe I could listen to podcasts because I like to learn and embrace some distant mentors and help in some area where there's purpose to there's something that I can enjoy. There's different ways that we can tweak it. Some people, they want to be able to listen to music when they're doing things, or sometimes it's instead of being indoors, it's being outdoors. Whatever the case may be, asking that question, what if this was easy and I enjoyed the process of doing it, can make a huge difference. Another excuse that, like, I had, or that people sometimes have, is like, well, being healthy or doing healthy, like eating healthy, is expensive. It costs more. It may be cheaper to go to McDonald's or fast food or Taco Bell or whatever the case is, then, but it's like, we can look at the expense of changing, but we could also look at the expense of staying the same. Like, what is, instead of looking at what does it cost to change, ask, what is the cost of inaction? And looking at, like, what I see as expensive, death is expensive. Surgery is expensive. Like, I recently was, I guess a few years ago, was having to do the funeral arrangements of someone I cared about. And man, everything from the tombstone to the coffin, it's like $13,000 for a coffin. And there's like, death is super expensive. Like, being sick is expensive, and it costs far more than just finances. It costs us time. It costs us energy. It costs us emotional exhaustion. But when we see, instead of seeing like the expense of saying yes, let's look at what is the cost of saying no and staying where we are. And sometimes that could help us to overcome our excuses, because we're replacing these limiting beliefs. It's good for us to recognize these limiting beliefs and even identify, well, that's more of an excuse. But then to replace it with, what is a liberating truth? Like, what could we believe instead of that, that would show, that would empower us to make the change that we want to make in our life?
And you'd mentioned emotional exhaustion. And I'm thinking about that for a moment. I think a lot of times we have that emotional exhaustion when we don't really sit down and figure out, okay, this is my goal. And for me, I'm a pen and paper gal. Yes, I love all my apps, but okay, well, how am I going to get this goal done? In fact, I just did an exercise with my business coach that I turned in today on what my perfect day would look like. And in your book, I love this whole book, by the way. I just want to show it again, Enoch's book. It, and by the way, I will make sure that the link to purchase his book is in the show notes. You have to get, this is a phenomenal book. In chapter 16, you talk about what gets done, what gets scheduled gets done. And as I wrote out what my perfect day would look like, it occurred to me, I was forgetting to put things down. So if I want to achieve a certain something, you know, of course, you know, really going back to if, you know, life happens, it may not be a perfect day, but at least if I want to get in my 2 45-minute workouts in, that's got to be written down because it's not going to get done if I don't write it down.
That is so true. And like our calendar is our place, is our source of freedom. When you're able, it's like I've heard it said before, show me your calendar and I'll show you my priorities. A lot of times we feel that we don't have time for things, but the reality is everybody has 24 hours in the day. You look at the person who is just, who's fit, who's strong, who's healthy. You look at someone who's struggling, or you look at someone who is financially thriving in their business, or entrepreneurs who are not thriving. It's like every single person has the same exact hours of the day. This is the one gift, the talent that God has given to all of us equally. But the question is what we do with it. When people say that I don't have time for this or that, what they're really saying is I don't have priorities, because we have time for what we make time for. And it was like you were saying, that exercise is so powerful. I go through, when I'm coaching entrepreneurs, I have them go through, I like to call it, what is your intentional week? It's very similar to your perfect day. And it's just identifying like, okay, if you could have the best week of your life, if you could just have the most ideal week, what would you spend your time doing? And it's basically creating a separate calendar that you're able to identify, what would that look like to be able to fit in so that you could feel fulfilled socially, financially, with your health, with your faith. So you could put in all these things that you value, then that's what really makes a huge difference. And then it's not so much that you're going to do that every single time, but there's a lot of times in life where maybe I like to call that there's discretionary time. Where right now we set an intention, we're going to get together at 11 my time and we're going to have this conversation, but maybe there's time in between or different blocks of time where we have not quite put an intention. It's more up to our discretion. We could invest in our health and do that workout time. We could make a phone call with someone that we haven't spoken to for a while. We can call a client. We could, whatever the case may be, there's discretionary time. And I believe that a lot of our dreams are built in the pockets of our time. And it's that discretionary time that's able to make the biggest difference in moving the needle towards our goals. But how are you going to, like, fuzzy targets don't get hit. So if we're not clear, we don't sit down and think about what is our intention, then we're going to fall short of what that is. And I like how Jim Rohn said it is, in 5 years from now, everybody's going to arrive. But the question is, are you going to arrive at a destination you desire, or are you going to drift to the destination in 5 years? Because rarely do we drift to a destination we desire. If you want to arrive at a destination you desire, then you got to design that destination. You have to be intentional and actually like put these plans into motion and decide what is it that you want in life. For your week, for your day, for your relationships, for your health. What do you want? And be extremely clear. Decide exactly what you want in life.
And, you know, that makes so much sense because really when we set out our intentions, we have to be organized about it. And I love in this chapter that's exactly what you talk about is the organization aspect of it. And then also, of course, achieving your goals is like building a tower. Can you share this with everyone?
Yeah. Achieving your goals is like building a tower. I like in Luke 14, 26, it says, no man intending to build a tower doesn't sit down first and count at the cost to see whether you have sufficient to finish it. I like to think about it as in life, we basically have a blank. It's like we get an open field. And in that open field, we get to decide what we're going to put in that field. We can build a tower there. We can build a garden there. We're able to design, like, we'll be able to design what we want to put in that area and what we're going to farm. Or it's like, if we're going to say, if we're going to be planting a garden, it doesn't make sense to plant tomato seeds. And when it comes to harvest, we're so upset that we're harvesting tomatoes. We're like, oh no, I didn't want a tomato. I wanted watermelon. Why did I get this tomato seed? It's like, I really wanted watermelon. But it's like we reaped what we sowed. So if you don't like the fruit, change the seed that produces the fruit. And we get to choose what we sow. Every word is a seed. Every dollar is a seed. Every deed is a seed that we're sowing in the garden of your future. So we want to be very intentional about what is it that we're going to build in this life.
That is so true. Enoch, how can our viewers and listeners connect with you further?
One of the best ways to contact me is to go to enochleffingwell.com. My name, E-N-O-C-H, Leffingwell, L-E-F-F-I-N-G-W-E-L-L.com. And you can connect with me there. I produce content anywhere that social media can be found, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, you name it. And there is content you could find there. And also grabbing a copy of my book, as a link will be in the show notes. I want a mentorbook.com. It's a great place to hear more about how mentorship could help you to reach the goals that you have in life, whether it's in your health and in your wealth and your relationships, whatever the case may be. And honestly, I love meeting new people, and I would love to connect with any of the listeners here that have resonated with my story or principles. Definitely reach out to me. I'd love to connect. I look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you so much, Enoch. And I also want to just segue over a moment and to welcome all the people who are listening currently to your podcast on the Wisdom Audio app. I see some familiar names. So thank you so much for being here with us today. Oh my gosh. Again, we've only really just scratch the surface. I've said that a lot this week, but it is so true. I'm so grateful for your time today. So grateful that you are on this Trending Thursday podcast. And I hope you will definitely consider coming back again soon. Hopefully we won't have any tech issues.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to serve and so glad to see you again.
Oh, same here. Well, everyone, you know, you heard it from Enoch, his book, I Want a Mentor. Now what do I do? This is just one of those books you have to have on your desk. It really is worth the read. So much insight, so much goodness in his book. And what you can achieve, make sure you choose your heart. Choose it wisely, because guess what? You have a goal to reach. You can reach it. And if you have any questions about how to do that, I'm sure Enoch and his amazing team would love to hear from you. My name is Janice, aka Wellness Diva 6.0. There's the upgrade. And today is the Trending Thursday podcast. And once again, I'm so sorry that Carol Sue couldn't be with us today. And we shall see you all again very soon. Thank you so much, everyone. Bye for now.